It is Wednesday, November 4th, 2009. I'm Bill, and this is Where Icarus Flies. I have to thank you all for being such great listeners to my first podcast. I wasn't really sure how to define success for that initial podcast, but I was hoping to get more than 20 or 30 unique listeners, and I thought that would be pretty cool. Not because I think my podcast was going to be crummy, because I just didn't know yet how to get the word out. And although I still am learning this stuff, I've been listed on podcastalley.com. We are up on iTunes now. You can subscribe there. And as I sit here today, we have 167 downloads through both iTunes and other sources of the podcast, 141 unique downloads and listens. So I am taking that as a huge, huge success. So what's the frequency of this podcast going to be? Well, I've been thinking about this, and for now, as I'm learning, as I'm really trying to still get the hang of this and get a grip on this, I'm going to commit to once a week. My goal is to record on Tuesdays and post on Wednesdays. Well, if you remember just a moment ago, I said it's already Wednesday, so I'm recording this a little late, but I do hope to have this up by the end of today. I think that in another week or so, if I get the hang of this better, that I'll start going to at least twice a week, and we'll take it from there. But along with the podcast, don't forget that I do have whereicarusflies.com. And right now, the main part of the website beyond getting to the podcast is a blog. So I will be blogging throughout the week on various topics that I have out there. So I'd like to just clue you in to what's up there this past week. I have a review on there for WordPress for iPhone. It's actually WordPress for iPhone 2, a second version. There was an initial version. And I'm going to be doing reviews. What am I going to review? I will review technology. I will review movies. I will review books. I will review anything that I want to give my opinion on. And I came up with a rating scale. Here at WhereIcarusFlies.com, we like Icarus, of course, and Icarus and his father Daedalus had built some wings to wear. So the rating scale that I've come up with, it might be a little cheesy, but I'm going with it. It is sets of wings. So you can have from one set of wings to five set of wings. Yeah, it's pretty much the star rating system, 1 to 5 stars, and I do halves. So we'll see how that plays out. Right now, you can read the review for WordPress for iPhone, my initial thoughts on whereicarusflies.com, the blog. And at the moment, this initial release, I'm giving it 2.5 sets of wings out of 5 total. So I will stick with it. It is a little buggy. It has crashed on me a few times, and there's a few features I'd like to see in it. But I do think that it has potential, and this initial release of WordPress for iPhone 2, I think is a good start. The other thing that I'm going to be posting on my blog is I have a Twitter account for Where Icarus Flies. So you can follow me at whereif, whereif on twitter.com. Search for Where Icarus Flies, twitter.com/whereif. And as I post my Twitter updates for Where Icarus Flies, I have a plugin for my WordPress blog that will take my weekly tweets and make a blog post out of them. I'm not sure if that's going to be annoying or not, so we'll see. Because the more I tweet during the week, the more tweets are in that blog post, and it could be a very long blog post. So I might get rid of that, or I might edit that down to be just the more interesting tweets. But I am going to talk a little bit more about Twitter coming up. The other thing I have on the website this week, on the blog, is an ad fail, Facebook and Zwinky.com. So I don't know if you've seen Zwinky. You can create little cartoon avatars, cartoon representations of yourself that you can use that picture to post. That can be your icon, your picture for things like Facebook or MySpace or Twitter or any place that uses those little avatars. And there's, I was disgusted by this one ad that I saw. And I don't know if I'm, I say on the blog post, I don't know if it's just that as I'm getting older, that I'm seeing things more clearly, or if I'm just becoming a prude. I don't know, but I was disgusted by this ad. And the whole Zwinky.com company, in my opinion, is just nothing more than adware garbage. They lure you in with this cool little cartoon yourself, and what they really want is to install a bar in your browser that adds all kinds of crap to it. And they just want to get in there and get information. And I think it's garbage. That's one man's opinion. So you can read more on that at whereicarusflies.com. So I have a couple of categories that I've added to the blog. Review. So I'll be doing reviews, as I told you. And from time to time, like the ad fail article that I have up there, the category I have is soapbox. So what is it that I really want to get up on my soapbox and beat down? So what else do we have coming up on the show today? Well, I'm going to be talking about Halloween and giving you a little recap. I want to talk a little bit more about Twitter, as well as a trending topic the last few days on Twitter called unseen prequels. If you don't know what a trending topic is, I'll explain that. And then I also want to give you some of the, I think, hilarious titles that were come up with for these unseen prequels. So I'll get to what that means in a little bit. I want to talk about one of my favorite websites out there called Super News. So that'll be up. And I want to talk a little bit about one of my favorite books. This book was just published in 2008. It's by one of my new obsessions. He's been an obsession author of mine for a couple of years now, Neil Gaiman. And I'm sure that you're familiar with his work, even if you don't recognize his name. Many of you may have seen or heard about the movie Coraline that was just out in theaters. And he's done some other wonderful, wonderful things. But I want to talk about the Graveyard book. It's a good time of year for it, and it's a book that I'm reading, doing a read-aloud with my two young boys, my 7-year-old and 9-year-old. So I want to talk about the book, and on the Masterworks Theater segment, I do want to read a quick excerpt from the book. So that's what we have going on for the show today. Let's get started. So Halloween just ended this last weekend. It was on Saturday, and we had a wonderful time in my house. As I mentioned on my first podcast, that we really do it up at my house. I don't overdo it. Like Christmas, I mentioned, is a huge holiday here that we pretty much overdo. I know my wife thinks that, but Halloween isn't. But we do have this wonderful graveyard we set out front. I had the fog machine going. I mentioned these creepy ghosts that my sister-in-law made for us. So basically, what are they? I'll put some pictures of all this up on the blog. But she made these just wooden stands and took a giant styrofoam ball that you can get at craft supply stores and put it at the top. And at the bottom of there, she made it so it looked like it kind of had, it kind of tees, and there's two by fours that go down that are like legs. So she went to Baby Gap or someplace, or Gap Kids, and got some little kids' clothes and put pants on these things and shoes and cut up a white sheet. And at the top, we draped the sheet over the styrofoam ball. So when you stand this thing up, it looks like a little kid is standing there, you know, because you can see the sheet doesn't cover him the whole way, or her, and you can see the pants and the shoes, but you can't see the rest of it, and the giant styrofoam ball makes it look like a, you know, round head. So it looks like there's a kid in there, and I've got three of them. And the first year we put these up, there's one family, this one dad and his son, were kind of creeping ever so slowly past them, because they were convinced that one of them, at least, was a real person. And that one of the little kids was going to just jump out and scare the crud out of them. And of course they're not, right? So we have those standing there, the fog machine, we have our jack-o'-lanterns, the entire front porch area has, you know, just, we cobwebbed the heck out of it, and there's spiders in there, and we have skulls hanging down. I think it's a pretty spooky place. You know, I had an iPod out in the bushes, playing some spooky music, and there's some really great stuff that you can get out there that I looped. And it was a pretty scary looking house. In fact, early on in the night, especially when a lot of the younger kids go around with their parents, a lot of the little kids did not want to come up to our house. There was one little boy that just would not have any of it. And he would not walk up the front path. And you know, my goal was to be scary, but my goal was not to terrify young children. So finally the dad came up and got the candy. And the older kids, by older, what do I mean? Probably by the time you get to like 7 or 8, they thought it was pretty creepy. And I'm sure some of them were a little scared, especially by the ghosts. But they didn't have any trouble coming up. And a lot of the older kids would come up and say, "This is a really cool house," is the feedback that I got. So that was a lot of fun. And while that was going on, my in-laws, my mother and father-in-law, were manning the fort here, handing out the candy. And my wife and I and my two boys went around to collect candy. And we did well. We had some friends that drove over to the neighborhood, and we walked around with them for a little while, and we had a great time. We had a great haul. It was a very successful Halloween. So I hope that everybody out there listening to this, if you celebrate Halloween, I hope you had a great time too. It was quite wonderful. I think I'm going to mark Halloween 2009 as a success. So I mentioned Twitter earlier in the show. And my Twitter identity for Where Icarus Flies, as I mentioned, is Where If. You can search Twitter for it. You can go to twitter.com/whereif. On whereicarusflies.com, there's also a follow me button, and you can see my latest Twitter posts. So there's a lot of ways that you can follow me on Twitter. Well, some of the things that you can do with Twitter, if you're not a Twitter expert and you're wondering what the heck it all is about, maybe I'll spend some time explaining Twitter to the general masses that don't understand it on another show. But there's something on Twitter called trending topics. So Twitter will monitor and analyze the posts, right, called tweets. They're 140 characters or less, so you don't get to say a lot. So it teaches people to be very concise. But Twitter will monitor the feeds, or I should say the posts, in real time, and they will analyze for most commonly used words. And of course they will filter out very common words like a and on and at and that sort of thing. And they will monitor, and posts or tweets that have, you know, the most use of certain terms, they will call that a trending topic, a topic that lots and lots of folks are talking about. there's also something called a hashtag. So the pound symbol or the hash mark, right? It looks like the tic-tac-toe grid that's on your keyboard. You can put the pound sign or the hash mark in front of a word, and that automatically tags that word as sort of a keyword that Twitter will use. You don't need to use it. Twitter will still figure it out, but it's a very good way for folks to be able to search on certain keywords you have. So there was a topic called unseen prequels. And folks, I don't know who started this. I haven't done the research. But folks were coming up with the names of prequels to movies. And of course, prequels that were never made. And I don't know how it started, but it ended up being sort of a funny thing. And most of them were kind of puns or trying to be clever. And so there were some really, really good ones out there and some poor ones. And there's some ones that I came up with as well. I'll post these on the blog, but I do want to read some of them now. So some of these were just very, very poor. And I got to admit, when I give you my own list, I started off slow as well. So here's some that I just think were just bad or just too obvious, right? And I'm not going to give the usernames of the folks that came up with these ones. The ones that failed will stay anonymous. You can search for them. So, of course, the prequel to Blazing Saddles, someone came up with Smoldering Saddles. You know, I see the effort there. I didn't care for it. I think that's one that wasn't good enough. Of course, the prequel to The Big Lebowski, The Normal Lebowski. Yeah, again, I think not good, but I can see the trying there. The next few are ones that I think, you know what, these folks should just be banned from the internet because these were just so bad. Of course, the prequel to any of the Star Trek movies, take your pick, I guess, but I must be the next generation one. Star Trek, The Previous Generation. That's just not even good effort. I mean, come on. I'm sorry, you banned from the internet. Of course, the prequel to Star Wars, and I saw many, many people post this. I think it's lame, and I think, you know, all of you should be banned from the internet. That's right, the entire internet. What is it? Of course, the prequel to Star Wars, Star Piece. Lame. Come on. Not good. Not good effort. This next one, you know, maybe not a full ban from the internet. Maybe just a partial ban, but I don't think it was good effort. Of course, the prequel to Night of the Living Dead, Evening of the Night Before of the Dead. I don't even understand the words. Let me read that again. I'm quoting this verbatim. Evening of the Night Before of the Dead. Okay, whatever. Now that I think of it, not a partial ban. Banned from the internet. Thank you. Now, the next few, these ones... Well, this next two, I think, were just lame. You know, it wasn't even good effort. The prequel to The X-Men, of course, W-Men. Banned. The prequel to The X-Files, The W-Files. I think that one kind of works, but I'm sorry. Still going to have to slap you with a ban from the internet. Now, the next three were just posted by a gazillion people, so it's hard to give the bad credit. I don't think these are worth bans. I think they're like that obvious pun that someone just has to throw out there. They're not funny, and I don't think they're good effort. They're just too obvious to really give you any kind of clever credit. Of course, the prequel to 300, 299. The prequel to Friday the 13th, of course, Thursday the 12th. It's too obvious. I did give a little bit of cleverness to the person that came up with Wednesday the 11th, because most, you know, I would say 99% of the people that were coming up with the prequel came up with Thursday the 12th, and I only saw one Wednesday the 11th. I thought that was fairly clever. This next one, you know, it's the same kind of thing. I think it is clever because you have to understand how dates work. This prequel, of course, to 10,000 BC, 10,001 BC. All right, little effort. I'm not going to throw a ban there. Now, those were some of the bad ones and some of the just too obvious, right? So what are some of the good ones? Here I have a pick of a few of my favorites that were out there that really made me laugh. And some of them started off slow, but L. Danders posted, of course, the prequel to Bridge Over the River Kwai, the construction site on the River Kwai. I thought that was cute. I like that one. Bryce 1984 gives us the prequel to Silence of the Lambs. And there were a lot of folks that came up with something like this. I liked this one the best. Bryce 1984 says, the lambs that wouldn't shut up. I thought that was good. Now we're going to get into some that I thought were just quite excellent. Cargro X gives us the prequel to Last of the Mohicans. Still plenty of Mohicans. I think that one's good. And it's very similar to one that I came up with and I'll get to. I saw this next one posted a ton of times, but the person that I saw most retweeted, right, that's like forwarding a tweet for those of you who do not know Twitter. Think of it as like forwarding an email. Retweeting is forwarding on somebody else's words. So Blog Diva gives us the prequel to Sex in the City, Second Base in the City. I thought that was great. I thought that was a good one. Stephen E. 8 gives us the prequel to Mutiny on the Bounty. Everybody gets along on the Bounty. I love that one. I think that one is quite excellent. Weasel Bacon gives us the prequel to The Bourne Ultimatum. The Bourne Penultimatum. I think that one was absolutely awesome. If you don't know what the word penultimate means, go look it up. That one is very clever. And my favorite of all time that I saw going by there, of course, the prequel to Zack and Miri Make a Porno. Well, Zenda Hogue gives us the prequel, Zack and Miri Take a Polaroid of a Clumsy Backseat Handjob. That was wonderful. Now, what are some of the ones that I came up with? Well, I started really lame. And this first one, you know, I was just handing out bans to the internet. This first one, it'll get me a ban, right? If I saw this, I would ban the person. So I was really slow to get into it. So my first prequel, of course, the prequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark was Indiana Jones and the Diaper of Doom. It was lame. I told you, it would get me a ban. I understand that. My second attempt, it was getting a little better. Still, I don't know if it would get a ban, but it needs work, right? Of course, the prequel to Salem's Lot, Salem's Unincorporated Land. It's lame. Now here, I think I hit my stride and I came up with three pretty good ones. Of course, and this is one I saw similarly after the fact. I thought I was, you know, original and clever at the time. Of course, the prequel to Apocalypse Now is Apocalypse Anytime Now. All right, saying it out loud, it's not as funny as I first thought, but my next two I thought were pretty good. The prequel to The Last Starfighter is, we have a few starfighters left. I love that one. And I thought my the creme de la creme of mine, one of the best ones. Of course, we all know that the prequel to The Hunt for Red October was... Has anyone seen Red October? Come on, I thought that one was pretty good. All right, so those were some of the best and worst of the Twitter trending topic, unseen prequels. As we head towards the end of the podcast this week, I do want to mention a quite funny website that is one of my favorites out there, and it's called Super News. You can find Super News at current.com/supernews. I'll post it on the blog, and if you were following me on Twitter, you would have seen that I posted out Super News's take on what really happened at the first Halloween. It's an animated half-hour show. The season premiere is Thursday, November 12th. So take a look at current.com/supernews. There's a lot of great, great stuff on there. And from time to time, I will be posting links to some of the best bits on Supernews. So check it out. It's a great site. As we move into the final portion of the show in my Masterworks Theater segment, I do want to talk about a book. It's called The Graveyard Book. I mentioned it in the intro to the show. It's written by one of my favorite authors, Neil Gaiman. It came out in 2008, and The Graveyard Book was awarded the John Newbery Medal, so the Newbery Award. And if you're not familiar with the Newbery Award, it's given to the work of literature for the most distinguished contribution to American literature for children. So it is a very, very prestigious award. Neil Gaiman is an incredible author. As I mentioned, if you're familiar with the movie or the book, or the story Coraline, if you're into comic books, you are probably familiar with the Sandman series. Some of Neil Gaiman's novels are American Gods, which is one of my favorite books of all time, Anansi Boys, Fragile Things. He's written some books for children, Interworld, M is for Magic, Mirror Mask, Stardust, which was also a major motion picture starring Claire Danes, Robert De Niro was in there, and some others. So he has done a heck of a lot of fine work, and there's much, much more. Check out Neil Gaiman. He's a wonderful author. So I'd like to leave you with an excerpt from the wonderful novel, The Graveyard Book, to give you a quick setup. And I'm not going to give too much away, because most of what I'll tell you here, you'll learn from reading the jacket cover as well as in the first few pages of the book. But there is a bad guy named the Man Jack, and the story starts off with the Man Jack murdering a family. All right, so for kids, it's a little hairy there in the beginning. It's not very gruesome, but he does kill the mom and dad and their daughter. We aren't told how or why that happens, so it's not a gruesome start, but that is the premise of the beginning. And as he tries to go finish off the family and kill the toddler, he finds the toddler has wandered out of the house. And without going into that first chapter too much, basically the boy ends up toddling into a graveyard and is adopted by a husband and wife ghost. He's given something called the freedom of the graveyard, so he is able to see in the dark. He has some other special abilities, and he is able to do things normal people can't. And he's also given a guardian named Silas, and Silas is not of the world of the living, nor of the world of the dead, but he is able to leave the graveyard, so he's able to go out and bring Bob books and food and takes care of him. So I'm beginning with a short excerpt from chapter 2, where Bod is, it's a few years after he comes to the graveyard, and he's being raised in the graveyard by the ghosts, and he's not allowed to leave the graveyard because they fear for him, because they don't know why someone was trying to kill him. So in this excerpt, it's been a few years since Bod has been at the graveyard. He's become very close with his guardian, Silas. And Silas tells him one day that he needs to leave the graveyard for a while to go find some information. And he will elaborate to Bod. And Silas has made sure that he has someone come to the graveyard to watch over Bod. One grave in every graveyard belongs to the ghouls. Wander any graveyard long enough and you'll find it. Water-stained and bulging, with cracked or broken stone, scraggly grass, or rank weeds about it, and a feeling when you reach it of abandonment. It may be colder than the other gravestones, too, and the name on the stone is all too often impossible to read. If there is a statue on the grave, it will be headless or so scabbed with fungus and lichens as to look like the fungus itself. If one grave in a graveyard looks like the target for petty vandals, that is the Ghoul Gate. If the grave makes you want to be somewhere else, that is the Ghoul Gate. There was one in Bod's graveyard. There is one in every graveyard. Silas was leaving. Bod had been upset by this when he had first learned about it. He was no longer upset. He was furious. But why? Said Bod.
I told you, I need to obtain some information. In order to do that, I have to travel. To travel, I must leave here. We have already been over all of this.
What's so important that you have to go away? Bod's six-year-old mind tried to imagine something that could make Silas want to leave him, and failed. It's not fair! His guardian was unperturbed.
It is neither fair nor unfair, Nobody Owens. It simply is.
Bod was not impressed. You're meant to look after me. You said...
As your guardian, I have a responsibility for you, yes. Fortunately, I am not the only individual in the world willing to take on this responsibility.
Where are you going anyway?
Out. Away. There are things I need to uncover that I cannot uncover here.
Bod snorted and walked off, kicking at imaginary stones. On the northwestern side of the graveyard, things had become very overgrown and tangled, far beyond the ability of the groundskeeper or the friends of the graveyard to tame, and he ambled over there and woke a family of Victorian children who had all died before their 10th birthdays, and they played at hide-and-go-seek in the moonlight in the ivy-twinged jungle. Bod tried to pretend that Silas was not leaving, that nothing was going to change. But when the game was done and he ran back to the old chapel, he saw two things that changed his mind. The first thing he saw was a bag. It was, Bod knew the moment he laid eyes on it, Silas's bag. It was at least 150 years old, a thing of beauty, black leather with brass fittings and a black handle. The kind of a bag a Victorian doctor or undertaker might have carried, containing every implement that might have been needed. Bod had never seen Silas's bag before. He had not even known that Silas had a bag, but it was the sort of bag that could only have belonged to Silas. Bod tried to peek inside it, but it was closed with a large brass padlock. It was too heavy for him to lift. That was the first thing. The second thing was sitting on the bench by the chapel.
Bod,
said Silas.
This is Miss Lupescu.
Miss Lupescu was not pretty. Her face was pinched and her expression was disapproving. Her hair was gray, although her face seemed too young for gray hair. Her front teeth were slightly crooked. She wore a bulky Macintosh and a man's tie around her neck.
How do you do, Miss Lupescu? Said Bod.
Miss Lupescu said nothing. She sniffed. Then she looked at Silas and said,
So, This is the boy.
She got up from her seat and walked all around Bod, nostrils flared as if she were sniffing him. When she had made a complete circuit, she said,
You will report to me on waking, and before you go to sleep. I have rented a room in a house over there.
She pointed to a roof just visible from where they stood.
However, I shall spend my time in this graveyard. I am here as a historian, researching the history of old graves. You understand, boy? Da?
Bod, said Bod. It's Bod, not boy.
Short for nobody, she said. A foolish name. Also, Bod is a pet name, a nickname. I do not approve. I will call you boy. You will call me Miss Lupescu.
Bod looked up at Silas, pleading, but there was no sympathy on Silas's face. He picked up his bag and said,
You will be in good hands with Miss Lupescu. Bod, I'm sure that the two of you will get on.
We won't, said Bod. She's horrible.
That, said Silas, was a very rude thing to say. I think you should apologize, don't you?
Bod didn't, but Silas was looking at him, and Silas was carrying his black bag and about to leave for nowhere knew how long, so he said, I'm sorry, Miss Lupescu. At first, she said nothing in reply. She merely sniffed. Then she said,
I have come a long way to look after you, boy. I hope you are worth it.
Bod could not imagine hugging Silas, so he held out his hand, and Silas bent over and gently shook it, engulfing Bod's small, grubby hand with his huge, pale one. Then, lifting his black leather bag as if it were weightless, he walked down the path and out of the graveyard. So there's a little taste of Neil Gaiman's The Graveyard book. It's a wonderful book. I really suggest you pick it up. I've also listened to Neil Gaiman read it, his audiobook, and he does a wonderful job reading it as well. That's the show for today. Thank you for joining me. Check out whereicarusflies.com for blog posts during the week until the next podcast goes up. If you have any ideas or suggestions for future show topics, you can send those in to feedback@whereicarusflies.com. As always, I'm Bill, and this has been Where Icarus Flies. WhereIcarusFlies.com provides this podcast for your personal enjoyment, information, education, and communication. This podcast is copyright 2009 by WhereIcarusFlies.com. You may not distribute, modify, transmit, reuse, repost, or use the content of this podcast for commercial purposes without express written permission of WhereIcarusFlies.com. Requests for permission to republish or to copy and distribute can be obtained by sending an email to media@whereicarusflies.com. Thank you, and have a great day.